Yes. Alive. WBAI.
No justice.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
Coming up next is Ecologic right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
It whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. A pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Glad you could join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for June 24th, 2023.
When your air or water are cleaned, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we speak to Iman Rashid, founder of Brooklyn Seeds, a nature and gardening program in 14 Brooklyn schools, to talk about native plants, their value, how to grow them, and the history and capitalism of non-native plants. But first, we have information about white rhinos, Cop City, security of domestic nuclear reactors, danger on our beaches, and a Daniel Ellsberg tribute.
We try to start every show with good news, and we have some good news about the southern white rhino, which have been gone from the Democratic Republic of the Congo since 2008, when the last one was poached, and they're now being reintroduced. The first 16 were transported from South Africa to a national park in northeast Congo. To quote EcoWatch.com, northern and southern white rhinos were once found in abundance in different parts of Africa and are genetically distinct. The northern white rhino is considered functionally extinct, as only two individuals remain in Kenya, both female. Research is still being done as to whether it can be saved from the brink of extinction. Sudan, the last male northern white rhino, died in 2018. Nearly all white rhinos are found in four countries: Namibia, Kenya, Zimbabwe, and South Africa.
And there are two new groups of wolves in Northern California. We spoke last week of the tremendous benefit wolves are to their ecosystems. So if no one kills them, as is so often done in Idaho, and was done to California's last pack in 2015, the two ecosystems will benefit. Fisherfolk and birders should rejoice.
We talked about Cop City with Priscilla Grimm and mentioned it since, but haven't talked in detail about the plan. The police training complex includes military-grade training facilities, a mock city to practice urban warfare, explosives, testing areas, dozens of shooting ranges, and a Black Hawk helicopter landing pad. Plus, many of the nonviolent protesters have been charged with domestic terrorism. This is not a new strategy. Chris Hedges interviewed former Chicago Tribune reporter Will Potter, author of Green is the New Red, to tie together past and future.
Will says, in the Cop City protests, you have people that are protesting, writing letters, working with church groups, running websites, doing free concerts, offering free childcare, food, all of these kinds of multiple aspects of movement organizing. Then you also have people that have sabotaged property and broken the law. What the state has done in this case is argue that all of it, the entire campaign, is reflective of domestic terrorism, anarchism, and threats to public safety. If you run a national group, it's understandable why it would be tempting to come out and publicly condemn someone who vandalized a bulldozer. Because you run a nonprofit, you have donations and staff, and you're not involved in protest activity like that, and you certainly don't want to be threatened by the FBI. And that's the type of fear that they prey into. And what happens, though, is when more mainstream and established groups start making public comments about the radicals with the Cop City or the anarchists, which is the kind of classic boogeyman that has rolled out, it drives a wedge. And I think in terms of state repression, the intention is to drive a wedge between the social movements inside themselves, between the above ground and the more radical groups, and then to drive a wedge between Cop City protesters and everyone else in the more liberal or mainstream left. And they do that by really tightening the screws on mainstream organizations that have something to lose, unquote.
Once again, it's divide and conquer, combined with over-the-top penalties that conflate agreement with collusion, that penalize any group or person for the actions of the most extreme, even if they were not directly involved. Talk about a chilling effect. That is why last week we compared Cop City government tactics with death squads in Colombia and Honduras.
The Nuclear Energy Information Service, NEIS, wrote a letter to the president signed by about 90 NGOs and many individuals stating that nuclear plant security must begin at home, end quote. As we consider danger to nuclear reactors in Ukraine, civilian nuclear power plants here at home remain vulnerable to attack. And although our military spending seems almost unlimited, government spending and regulation to make civilian nuclear reactors safer lags badly. Security decisions are left up to the plant's owners, which have an incentive to cut costs and maximize profits. Not only are operating or decommissioned reactors vulnerable to attack, but their highly radioactive nuclear waste is also vulnerable, both in storage and during transport. Nuclear waste transport dangers have been repeatedly pointed out in writing to Transportation Secretary Buttigieg, but to date there has been no reply from the Department of Transportation. The letter included a list of recommendations to improve U.S. nuclear security. It also recommends hardened on-site storage for highly irradiated spent nuclear fuel, SNF, and preventing proposed SNF shipments by truck, train, and barge across the country to two recently licensed consolidated interim storage facilities in Texas and New Mexico, which would concentrate radioactivity and would themselves be potential terrorist targets. The letter argues that increasing reliance on nuclear power, as the Biden administration proposes, would compound security threats to U.S. reactors. It calls on the administration to prioritize scaling up renewables, storage, efficiency, and transmission upgrades, so as to phase out nuclear power as quickly as possible, end quote.
Last week, we lost a hero to many advocates, environmentalists as well as proponents of civil rights and peace. Daniel Ellsberg passed away on June 16th at age 92. Best known for leaking the Pentagon Papers, he supported whistleblowers and truth tellers and continued to speak out until the end about the dangers of nuclear war, corruption in the government, and the need for the public to have all the facts. His leadership and insights will be profoundly missed.
We talked about the southern white rhino being brought back to the Congo as we opened the show. Here's a song about what happened to the northern white rhino from Fundamental Raps, part of a series of education music videos. Northern White Rhinos from Fundamental Raps educational music video.
The 2023 Atlantic hurricane season began on June 1st and will run through November 30th, encompassing the Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, and the Caribbean Sea. The National Weather Service defines a hurricane as having sustained winds of at least 74 miles per hour. The Climate Prediction Center forecasts a 40% chance for a near normal season, with 12 to 17 named storms.
Finally, it's beach weather. But stop. Nope. Not a good idea. Your beach fun is being jeopardized. Be careful. Beaches can be bad for your health. What? Surfrider Organization, an ocean protection advocacy organization that tracks water conditions, recently released disturbing news. Many U.S. coastal waters are dangerously contaminated. Unsafe levels of fecal matter have been found on many popular beaches in the U.S. There are safe levels of fecal matter to swim in? I don't think so. To further this horror, the federal government has reduced funding for water testing, so the public can't even be informed properly of the hazards. That in turn leaves people with a false sense of security and uninformed about the health risks that they take during a day at the beach.
When I was a kid, I remember signs popping up to not go in the ocean. We kids would ignore the signs, rationalizing that the water was fine yesterday and seemed the same that day. There was rarely any detail on the signs. This is before the internet. Few, if any, parents kept their kids out of the ocean. If there is no testing or official notification now, then the unhealthy conditions will be ignored. Some people will get sick and may or may not connect their sickness to their time in the ocean. Further, fecal matter is organic matter and will be interpreted as food by some types of plankton and not others, throwing off the balance of nature and changing which fish are in those waters.
During storms, U.S. beaches are often inundated with runoff from streets and sewers, bringing bacteria into the ocean or inland waterways such as rivers and lakes. Destroying our wetlands and forests takes away natural protection. Pavement and buildings don't absorb water the way natural areas do. Many older cities have a combined sewer system, collecting rainwater runoff, sewage, and industrial wastewater into one pipe. Heavy rains are increasingly common as a result of climate change, often overloading sewage treatment plants that then can discharge untreated sewage directly into the water. Most of the sewer systems of the United States were built when the populations they served were smaller and before sea level rise and other aspects of climate change were so severe. Most sewers send both rainwater runoff and human waste to a water treatment plant. But if there's too much rain, they are combined and together go into a nearby waterway. That's called combined sewer overflow, or CSO. There's less water testing and less money for water treatment, and almost no money to upgrade CSOs.
Surf Riders Water Quality Initiative Senior Manager Mara Diaz notes, quote, that nearly 10 trillion gallons of untreated stormwater runoff flow into the U.S. waterways every year, end quote. Disgusting. Last year, Surfrider's 53 Blue Water Task Force labs tested more than 9,000 water samples collected from nearly 500 distinct sampling sites. With bacteria found in just about every sample, almost one-fifth had high bacteria levels, failing water quality criteria or the beach action values set by each state. We link to the article on our website. Bacteria are not the only danger on our beaches. In Florida, masses of sargassum seaweed has been washing up on beaches. We'll have details about that horror for you next week.
Tom Chapin has a lot of songs about farming and food on his CD, Give Peas a Chance. That's P-E-A-S. Here's one appropriate to both this week's and last week's guests. Grow Your Own.
In first grade, you get a little paper cup, potting soil to fill it up. Teacher sends you home with a pumpkin seed. Put it in the window, warm and light. Give a little drink each and every night. Sunshine and water are all you need to grow your own. Grow your own. Soon you'll see the very first bloom from your own little farm in your own little room. Just grow your own. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Just grow your. Later in earth science class, clear a little corner of the high school grass, fence and trellis and rows of seeds. Chess team will come and measure the plants, dance club will water them before they dance, football team come and pull the weeds. Grow your own, grow your own. Friends in the garden on bended knee, sprout like a bean or a sugar pea, just grow your. Space on the balcony. Get soil and seeds and red clay pots. Cultivate cukes and cherry tomatoes. A whole bunch of basil and parsley. Grow your own. Grow your own. Pesto sauce has extra charm when it's grown in your very own high-rise farm. Grow.
more. So you clean out the garbage and the cans of oil, spread some clean organic soil, make a city garden with an open door. Grow your own, grow your own. 'Cause food tastes better when you grow it up from a city garden or a paper cup. Just grow.
Was Grow Your Own by Tom Chapin.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you, and to Brooke Dramer for introducing us to our guest today, Ema Rashid of the Brooklyn Seeds. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm Ken Gale. Coming up in a few minutes is our interview with our guest, Iman Rashid of Brooklyn Seeds, about native plants.
From the New York State Legislature. During this special session, the Assembly did vote on the Save the Hudson River from Treated Radioactive Waste Bill. It passed 100 to 44 with a 6 not voting. 8 members of each party switched sides. Now it's up to the governor to sign it. It is not yet signed into law. Holtec now has given no indication that they will respect this bill when and if the governor does sign it. We need to call and show our concern. Please call. There are amazing numbers of people, including lawyers, working on this from many different angles. Thanks to Marilyn Ellie from NIPSEC for updates. To give Governor Hochul your opinion, call 518-474-8390. Call Hochul at 518-474-8390.
The other day, I was talking to one of my friends, and she commented that she had recently rediscovered WBAI. We have such a great history. Some of us have been listening for decades. Not always consistently, but we come back and find good programs. Some of them are old favorites. Ecologic has been on WBAI for 21 years. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by credit or debit card or mail in a check or money order. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
We don't bend to corporate advertisers at WBAI or at any other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you and a few public service announcements. Did you make a donation during our recent fund drive? We hope so. But if not, it's not too late. In fact, a donation of at least $25 by June 30th makes you eligible to vote in WBAI's elections coming up in a few months. This is as important as it was back in October 19th. 2019, when we were shut down. We will need you to be a voting member to help keep our station. If you have donated at least $25 since last July or volunteered at least 3 hours, you are considered an active member and can vote. But sending a few extra dollars would really help.
There was an opportunity a few years ago in October 2019 when producers and listeners met together to save the station from a rogue group of Pacifica that was threatening and almost closed BAI. The good that came out of that is that we got to meet some of you. Gosh, you guys really are out there. This was the best that came out of that trying time. Or one of them anyway. Another was forming a group of producers and listeners that we call WBAI Fight Back, who still meet. I met listeners who were delighted to meet the voice in person and went on about how valuable Ecologic is and say how much they appreciate it. Surprisingly, even me. Geesh, always nice to hear. Let's hear from our listeners more. We have to find ways. Of course, when you donate to the station, we can know you are out there. Also, when you like us on Facebook or write to us on our email, which is on our website, or come to our events that we need to schedule more of, like the recent tour of Governor's Island, or when you come to a rally we tell you about. Let us know you're there. Talk to us. Let's think of more ways to interact. WBAI's phone lines are down today for call-ins, so when you do make calls, tell the call center that you are calling to donate or get a premium or become a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. Hint, help us keep the phones on.
You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts that they don't have. You know about events that they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it, and please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic.
DVDs of our Celebration of Nature series are available as premiums for a $40 donation to WBII. Bees or butterflies or Nature for All, Birding While Black. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
Ecologic has brought so many important programs to you over the years. We and WBAI continue to bring you great content only because of the support of listeners like you. And we have to ask for your help, or how will you know what we need? Ecologic brings you actions you can take for rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars. It's all important. Some of us can't get to remote actions, but there are lots of ways to support, including donating to WBAI and Ecologic so that we can continue to bring you activists, journalists, eyewitnesses, and more, along with environmental music and artists, and in this case, gardeners. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Your support of Ecologic really makes a difference. Call 212-209-2950.
Coming up in just a few minutes is our interview with our guest, Iman Rashid, about native plants, gardens, and forests.
We hope you took advantage of the recent two-week fund drive to get 24 hours of WBAI programming on the best of BAI shows and favorite hosts' thumb drive. It can still be yours with a $99 donation. Call now, 212-209-2950, or go to give2wbai.org.
Show coming on that you don't expect. No need to tune to another station. Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them. For $99, we'll give you the best of BAI shows and favorite hosts thumb drive, including the Nature for All video from us, as well as 23 more hours of great WBAI programs. Call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org.
WBAI and Ecologic cover New York City stories, but also state and national issues. They're usually connected. What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe and the water we drink and the creatures with whom we share this planet. Indigenous folks acknowledge them all as relatives. Even the increasingly undemocratic Indian Point Decommissioning Oversight Board meetings and the danger of Holtec potentially dumping radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River, to Cop City and the latest on the Ohio derailment with the National Transportation Safety Board hearings coming up next week, we bring experts to help us determine how federal, state, and local decisions intersect. We interview activists and advocates fighting the bad decisions and working to get good policies passed. Let us know you appreciate our reporting by calling 212-209-2950 or going to give2wbai.org or ecologic.wbai.org and making a donation, or signing up as a sustaining BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic.
Ecologic serves you and the community with many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We don't take corporate donations, which is why you are so important to us.
Every week, we have several new stories to catch your interest, from monarch butterflies on Ken's head to falcons on and a hawk on New York City roofs, kind of the same thing. We try to keep you guessing on what's next, but always with solid information so that you learn something new every week.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, and more. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
I've been hosting Ecologic on BAI for 21 years, so we've covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. Maybe you'd be interested in bottled water and the plastic it comes in with four other shows, or maybe the original Connect the Dots DVD. We have more than 25 items from which you can choose. They make great gifts as well as treats for yourself. Go to ecologic.wbai.org, leave off the www, and make your selection. Maybe you can find just $10 or more a month to be a sustaining BAI buddy. Any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you'll want. You can find all our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org.
And now you'll hear from our guest, Iman Rashid. Welcome, Iman. Please introduce yourself.
Oh, hi. I'm Iman Rashid, and I am the founder of Brooklyn Seeds. We're a kids' nature and gardening program, and our focus is native plants to support native and endangered wildlife. We also teach kids about organic food and using organic products and not using pesticides, herbicides, learning to grow your own food. We focus a lot on native and endangered wildlife.
And why should we care about native plants?
Oh, there's so many reasons to care about native plants. The extinction crisis is one really big reason. There are many, many reasons a lot of plants or animals are going extinct, and we know many of them. We know fossil fuels are one big reason. We know pesticides are another reason. We know the destruction of habitat is another reason. There's so many reasons. But the one reason that I focus on, which is something we have a little more control of, is that if you plant native plants, it would help native animals, or especially native and endangered animals, survive in your own backyard, in your own schoolyard, in your own community garden, on your own street block. And why is that important? Because if we don't plant native plants, many of the native animals that depend on them will slowly become extinct. And is it okay if I give you an example?
Sure, of course.
So one great example is ivy. So ivy was brought here from Europe, and it's a really pretty plant, and it, it grows like a pretty vine. People like to plant it outside, but it's a great way to ensure the destruction of our native wildlife. For instance, there is a wonderful native alternative. It's called Virginia creeper. It's a beautiful plant.
Oh, yeah.
And it, oh, so you know it, Gail. So I just called you Gail. There we go. And I'm Ken. So Virginia creeper is beautiful. It's a climber. It's a vine just like ivy, but it's a native alternative which supports 32 different native wildlife species versus, I think, 2 that ivy supports. So the choices we make in the plants that we, you know, in the plants, whether native or non-native, can determine whether an animal coming to visit to lay its eggs will either find a habitat or not find a habitat. And it will find a habitat if we have native plants. It will never find a habitat if we have non-native or introduced plants. And this is a really big deal because when you go to the nursery to buy native plants, often you will not find them because nurseries don't make a lot of money from selling native plants, because many of the native plants that we are taught are weeds that we pull out of sidewalks, pull out of gardens, pull out of our community gardens. Many of these plants that we've been taught are weeds are not actually weeds. They're native plants that have been here for millions, thousands of years. You don't know exactly depending on the plant, but like horseweed is an example. Horseweed is a plant that I was taught when I first became a gardener is I should pull it out. It's going to take over the space. I can't grow my tomatoes because it's going to grow this big and it's going to shade out my tomatoes. But there's a balance. You can grow horseweed, which is not a weed, by the way, a misnomer. And we'll talk about why these plants are all called weeds. But if you pull this out, a lot of our native bees love horseweed. They absolutely love horseweed. They do not benefit from our tomatoes, but a good balance and an absolute necessary balance is that 70% of your garden should be native plants. The other 30% can be anything you want, you know, it could be tomatoes or basil or, you know, eggplants or whatever you want to grow for yourself. And in the schools, we do actually grow food, but we make sure that 70% of every garden we're in is made up of native plants to support native and endangered wildlife. And that way, kids don't have to order caterpillars in the mail or order ladybugs in the mail, because if you plant native plants, these native animals will come. If you do not plant native animals, you will end up spending money and buying from these corporations that want you to buy from them, the same corporations that say, oh, that's a weed, pull it out.
Why should we care about extinction? Does it matter?
It matters. It matters to me. I mean, well, I have a daughter and I would like her to live a lot longer than I do. You know, I'm 54. She's 21. And one day I also hope she has children, and we can't expect humans to survive without native plants. If you look at what plants do and how they survive, they have to reproduce, right? They have to reproduce. Mm-hmm. So if they do not reproduce, there will be less native plants. Less plants means less oxygen for us. It means less absorption of carbon dioxide. So we can become extinct without planting native plants. But also, I think I'm thinking about just the next 10 or 20 years, not the next 100 years or 200 years, thinking about the next 10 or 20 years, we keep talking to kids about the polar bears and the dodo bird that went extinct and the dinosaurs went extinct. But really, we should be talking about the animals they see right now, which may go extinct if we continue to plant non-native plants.
Let me tell you a story. I had a herpetologist on, all right, scientist who studies amphibians and reptiles. And when I asked him that question, he got very passionate. He said, God put those animals here and we have no right to take them away.
I
boiled it down to that.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Yeah. I mean, I guess I was trying to explain why, you know, like kids are so, kids really take this stuff to heart when you teach them about extinction. I mean, look at their faces. It's so upsetting to them. It's so traumatic for them to think about a tiny little, you know, 9-spotted ladybug going extinct. But a 9-spotted ladybug, by the way, is the New York State ladybug. And it was thought to be extinct, or at least it couldn't be found for about 12 years. No one found it. But guess who found it? Two kids found it. This is true. A 9-year-old and an 11-year-old found it, and they contacted these amazing entomologists at this wonderful program called the Lost Ladybug Project at Cornell. And what they do is they actually help reintroduce the 9-spotted ladybug so that it does not go extinct. But allowing kids to take that sort of action to do something, not just to learn about extinction, which is devastating and traumatic and kids feel helpless and powerless, but then to give them something to do. And what can they do? They can't go over and help the polar bears right this second, but they can right this second reintroduce the 9-spotted ladybug, which you can get from the Lost Ladybug Project. But the 9-spotted ladybug may not survive if we don't have the native white oak. 9-spotted ladybugs love white oak trees, but here we are introducing ginkgo trees instead of the white oak trees. Ladybugs don't benefit at all from ginkgo trees. So it's a way for us, like we plant something that's non-native, to absolutely make sure that that poor ladybug goes extinct. So these are things we have control of right now.
Something you said reminded me of a story that Ken was telling. There is a bee in Governor's Island that evolved specifically, the only bee like it, to be able to have the hairs on its legs carry large pollen that comes from one particular native plant. And that those two species, the plant and the bee, evolved together. If the plant goes away, that bee goes away.
It's squash. That's a native plant.
Yeah, and we have over 4,000 native bees in North America.
Wow.
None of them are honeybees. We're always talking about the, problem with honeybees. Honeybees should not be our concern. They are not native. We should not be trucking millions of honeybees from one farm to another. If we support the habitat of our native bees, and most of our native bees are mason bees, their habitat is in the ground. If we're constantly digging up their habitat, we are destroying their habitat. Most mason bees lay 6 eggs in the ground with a little bit of mud in between. And if you're constantly digging, you're removing those mason bees. And often we will see them hovering over the ground. And when they're hovering, we should make sure we do not dig in that spot, which is why in our schools, we always have no dig spots. No dig spots to ensure there are digging spots for the kids, because every kid should be digging, of course. they should be digging. We're always, don't touch that. You're going to hurt that. Don't do this. But in our schools, we always make sure that kids have digging spots so they can dig to their heart's content. We also make sure that they have no digging spots. So there are other organizations that teach about gardening. But we don't really say that we're just gardeners. We make sure that we include teaching kids about native and endangered species. If we don't do that and we just teach them to garden, let's grow your organic tomatoes and your organic basil, then we are ensuring the destruction and the extinction of these animals. And
raking is also a part of a big no-no, right? Or a big caution.
No, you're right, Donna. We shouldn't be raking up leaves and putting them in bags. We're destroying many of those animals. So I'll give you an example. For instance, oak trees. And I need to shout out an amazing entomologist. So I just said the Lost Ladybug Project is an amazing organization. You should not be ordering ladybugs by the thousands online. Those are not native ladybugs, and they will lie to you, these companies, because I remember ordering them for my students and saying, well, are they native ladybugs? And the company said, oh, sure, they're native. It turns out they're native to Texas, but not the Northeast. So the only place you should be ordering ladybugs is from the Lost Ladybug Project. They are ladybugs that are the New York State ladybugs, but also if you're in Connecticut, if you're in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, all these places, it is also native in those areas. But going back to the leaves, again, we keep replacing our native trees, Donna, with non-native trees. And this is ensuring the destruction of many of our native animals. But let's say you do have a native tree, let's say oak trees. oak trees support over 536 different butterflies and moths.
Wow.
Those butterflies and moths are essential to the survival of our birds, because one little bird's nest about this size needs anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 caterpillars to just feed a tiny little nest of baby birds. So when you don't plant native plants, like say like oak trees, we don't have enough caterpillars to feed those birds. Those baby birds starve to death. And we then have a decline in our native bird population. And one way to ensure that we have this decline and that we contribute to this extinction is that we rake up our leaves and we put them in bags and we get rid of them and we put them in our compost bin. It's okay if you compost some of your leaves, but with oak trees, of the 536 butterflies and moths that lay their eggs on oak trees, 80% of them do not finish their life cycle on the tree. 80% of them finish their life cycle on the ground, in the leaves, in the leaf litter, all fall along. Once you remove those leaves, you are removing millions of those creatures and sending them to their death.
Why does this make me feel extreme guilt over my use of raking leaves?
I did it too. Honestly, Donna, I did it too for years. I still rake, by the way, but I rake them under the trees and I leave them under the trees. And if you're afraid of them blowing away, make sure that you plant an understory under your trees so that there are, say, serviceberry bushes or asters and goldenrods. These are all native plants that serve native populations. And going back to what you said, Donna, about that bee that has that relationship with that plant, it's not just that bee. Of the 4,000 native bees that we have in North America, many of them are bee specialists. So they have a relationship with only one or two plants. Once we remove those plants, we remove that bee from the earth, because if it cannot find that plant, and it's interesting, like some of these bees, like you said, their body has a particular shape, which is the exact shape of that flower and only that flower. So if you remove that bee, that plant, you are absolutely contributing to the extinction of that bee. I was going to say something else and now I kind of forgot.
www.lostladybug.org is the website for the Lost Ladybug Project.
Yes, so, one more amazing organization that I want to plug is the entomologists that have been coming up with this research for the
past. Those are insect specialists, entomologists.
Yes, entomologists are insect specialists.
And there are not enough entomologists. So if you have a child who doesn't know what they want to do, but they love science, encourage them to go into entomology, because there's a need for them.
Absolutely, there's a need for them. And they can save some of our native endangered wildlife. Absolutely. But I was going to say is my favorite entomologist right now, my favorite in the world, is Doug Tallamy. So he wrote an amazing book called Bringing Nature Home and a second book called The Nature of Oaks. And once you read Bringing Nature Home, you will never garden the same way again. So we at Brooklyn Seeds make sure that we follow his research and the research of his fellow entomologists. I think they're at the University of Maryland, but he started a great organization called Homegrown National Park. Yes. Okay. It's called Homegrown National Park, an amazing nonprofit that, what they do is you want to plant native plants, but you're not sure which ones are native to your region. You go to Homegrown National Park, you plug in your zip code and it will tell you which plants are native to your region by zip code. And also, if you want to support us, Brooklyn Seeds, we garden in 14 schools. We really try to support native and endangered wildlife. You can go to brooklynseeds.net to support us.
Spell Doug Tallamy's last name.
Oh, Tallamy.
And you have a few schools. Oh. Oh.
Well, I'm sorry, guys. It is time to wrap up. So thank you so much, Iman. Doesn't the time go by fast?
Wow, I can't stop talking.
Well, that makes you a great guest.
This is talk radio.
Please support WBAI, everybody. Please become a BAI buddy. Please support WBAI. Please support EcoLogic. I learned so much from shows like EcoLogic. I learned so much from shows on WBAI, not just about ecology, but also about social justice, also Free Palestine.
Very much. Well, it's time to wrap up. So we thank our listeners for joining us this evening, this morning. Ken, what were you saying?
Yeah, I'd say, what are the three schools that sell native plants in order to support the school?
Oh, yes. So there are schools that do sell native plants. You'd be
surprised. Real quick.
PS9, PS133, and PS282 in Brooklyn. PS9, PS133, and PS282 in Brooklyn. They have native plant sales in the fall and in the spring. And if you're not sure, go to brooklynseeds.net and we'll put in more information about that.
And in addition to an archive of our past shows, we have information on a variety of environmental topics on our website, www.ecoradio.org. That's ecoradio.org.
And thank you so much, Iman.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for doing what you do.
And join us next week, Saturday, July 1st at 6 a.m. Check our website for details. To support EcoLogic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both in ecologic.wbai.org or on give2wbai.org. You can become a member or contribute monthly, 212-209-2950. And I can't say this better than Iman just did.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps EcoLogic especially. We're always glad to have you with us for EcoLogic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. If you listen live and our phones come back, we may be able to take your call and answer your question.
We'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI, EcoLogic, no dashes. We have more than 1,000 followers and are eager waiting our 1,000th like. As of yesterday, we're at 998. So will you be the 1,000th to like our page? If you see that you are, you have to let us know. So comment on our post to let us know. If you want us to thank you on the air, we'd be glad to.
I think we're at 999 now.
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah. If you missed the beginning of the show, we'll be on the WBAR archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. And our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Saturday, July 1st, or find us on the archives. Check our website for details. Thank you all just for being our listeners. We love you.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
the power of the sun. Give me the strength to live. Give me the spirit of living things as they return to me. Just give me the rest, the power of the will. Give me the power.
this is Julian Joiello, and I'm a listener and supporter of WBAI. I'm a student at NYU, and I live in New York City. And I want to shout out to the other young listeners of WBAI. We have to help keep the station going, and the easiest way to do it is through the WBAI Buddy System. If you donate as little as $10 a month, you have proactively promoted free speech radio. Go to the website, WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Across the country, we're witnessing an unprecedented number of bills that attack LGBTQ rights. That's threatening the strides that have been achieved in the half century since the Stonewall Uprising. Join me, Jeff Simmons, and my co-host, Carlos Menchaca, for our annual Pride Month special, when we'll explore that landscape. We want to hear your stories, too. What you think it will take to make equality a reality for the LGBTQ community. Sunday, June 25th, starting at 8 in the morning, through noon, only on WBAI.
I'm Susan Charlotte, and I wanted to let you know about a new play I've written called Unlucky Gal, the Jane Doe Story, based on one of the cases represented by legendary lawyer Martin Garbus and directed by Anthony Marcellus.
We can revisit Mike McAleary's life and death on Broadway, thanks to Nora Ephron's play. But who will tell us Jane Doe's story?
Tune in to listener-sponsored WBAI Playhouse on Saturday, June 24th from 8 to 10 p.m. and listen to the extraordinary story of Jane Doe.
I have had the misfortune of being raped twice.
Raped twice? I was dumbfounded. I waited for her to continue.
Once in the park and once in the media.
June 30th is the deadline to renew your membership in order to participate in the governance structure of WBAI and of the Pacifica Foundation. Visit elections.pacifica.org for information on membership eligibility in order to vote, how to register as a candidate, and how to register to nominate candidates. Reach out to the election supervisor by emailing nes@pacifica.org or leaving a voicemail on 213-635-9363.
Stand up, you've been sitting way too long.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM, where it's broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting with